ネタ愛がオールプレイマンなんで。オムナモバガバテワスデヴァーヤ、オムナモバガバテワスデヴァーヤ、オムナモバガバテワスデヴァーヤ、ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस संडे आफ्टरनून प्रोग्राम वेयर वी डिस्कस वेरियस एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ आवर कृष्णा कॉन्शियस फिलॉसफी। सो टुडे वी विल ट्राई टू डिस्कस समथिंग from the Niti Shastras. There are various kinds of Niti. Niti means moral principles. So there are several great thinkers who have compiled various types of Niti instructions. Like in the Gita you have the last verse of the Gita says, यत्र योगेश्वर कृष्णो यत्र पार्थो धनुर्धर तत्र श्रीर विजयो भूतिर ध्रुवा नीतिर मतिर मम। Wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Arjun, in that place there will be the supreme victory, supreme morality, supreme opulence. Sanjay assures Dhritarashtra about this. So what is supreme morality? Morality means what is good, what is bad. For every situation you will find some people saying this is right, this is wrong, and this is what you should have done, this is what you should have avoided. So there are famous Niti compilers, like we have Chanakya Niti. Heard of this? Chanakya Niti. Chanakya Niti is several times used in corporate management techniques. There are several authors who have written books on Chanakya Niti, and they use it as a guideline, guiding principles for their managing their companies. We also have Shukra Niti, written by Shukracharya. Then there is Bhartrihari's Niti. Bhartrihari was a king in ancient times who was very much attached to his kingdom, very much attached to his queen. But then later he found that his queen had an affair with someone else. So he renounced everything and he wrote a series of verses called Vairagya Shatak. And then later he compiled his Niti also. So several people have written such instructions. Just like in English or Hindi, we have various proverbs and sayings. Similarly, these instructions offer valuable tips on social living and moral principles. So in our Back to Godhead magazine, we have a devotee who regularly contributes an article on the Subhashit. Subhashit is a set of instructions where they have compiled Niti instructions from several authors. So you take one shloka, one verse, and you explain it in a Krishna conscious manner. Give a Krishna conscious purport to it and match it with our instructions in the Bhagavatam and the Gita. And in this way we present a devotional message through these Niti instructions. So Hari Parshad Prabhu is one of our great scholarly devotees in our movement. He regularly compiles all these instructions and he gives a commentary to it. So if you have a Back to Godhead magazine, you will find every month in English there are these two-page, three-page articles that come every month. So I thought I selected a few of them, few such articles which I found interesting, and I thought I will try to share some point from that. So one such shloka that he selected was, this is a very nice poetic verse. It says, Sakshara viparitasched Rakshasa eva kevalam Saraso viparitaschet Sarasatvam namunchati. So what does it mean? So here you find two words. Sakshara. In English you have this concept called palindrome. You know this? Palindrome. Palindrome means there is a word which reads same left to right and right to left. Like one palindrome is noon. N-O-O-N. You read left to right, right to left. The word Malayalam is palindrome. You read right to left also, it reads the same. Then we have civic, C-I-V-I-C. So that's a palindrome. So similarly in Sanskrit also there are such words, palindrome. So Sakshara and Sarasa. So Sarasa word is a palindrome. Sarasa, Sarasa. But the first line says Sakshara. Sakshara viparitaschet. You take the word Sakshara and Viparita. What is the opposite of Sakshara? Viparita Sakshara? Rakshasa. Sakshara viparitaschet Rakshasa eva kevalam. So it says, those who are Sakshar or those who are highly educated, so called educated, they have a lot of knowledge, they have a lot of degrees, PhDs, so many degrees. Such people, if their understanding and knowledge is not very deep, and if such people face reversals in life, some problems in life, some difficulties in life, then Rakshasa eva kevalam. These people become Rakshas. Becoming Rakshas means they give up their knowledge, give up their principles, give up the values they have gained through their so-called education. And their so-called education does not help them maintain their character in the face of great difficulties. So amidst reversals, people with only ordinary education change into Rakshasa, demons. But Saraso viparitaschet. Sarasa means one who takes the essence, sar, jo sar grahan karta hai, saragrahi. Such people, they may not have big degrees, lot of knowledge, academic knowledge, but they have good character. they have values and principles in life. Such people, viparitaschet, even in the face of big difficulties, sarasatvam na munchati, they don't give up their true character in spite of difficulties. So what it means is, simply academic knowledge does not guarantee that a person's character is high. Especially in today's time, we see the biggest terrorists, biggest scam people who involved in scams. These people have high education, but they are also involved in all kinds of illegal activities, right? So ideally, education should lead to character, good character. Nowadays, education means what can give you money. More the degrees, more the earning capacity, more the money you can earn. But truly speaking, education should mean, education should impart good character in a person's life. So, therefore Chanakya Pandit says, Matruvat paradareshu, paradravyeshu loshtravat, atmavat sarvabhuteshu, yap pashyati sapandita. He gives the definition of a pandit. Matruvat paradareshu. One who sees every woman as a mother. Matruvat. So education should make a person see every woman as a mother. That's the purpose of education, according to Chanakya. Paradravyeshu loshtravat. Paradravya means others' property. Someone else's property, loshtravat. Loshtra means stone or useless matter. Others' property we should totally ignore and we should not care about it. We shouldn't be interested to acquire it. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu. It says, you should treat every living entity as your own self. So if I don't like to feel pain, I should be careful that others also should not get pain through my actions. So that will happen only when you start seeing everyone as your own self, our own self. But if we see everyone as something else different, then we don't care about other person's pain and concerns and difficulties. So one who sees all these, one who has these three qualities, Chanakya says, Ya pashyati sa pandita. Such a person is a pandit. So that's the purpose of education. But unfortunately, today's education doesn't guarantee these qualities. And if at all anyone tries to talk about character, then that is considered unfashionable. Character development is not considered as an important goal about education. If you have a high character, but if you cannot earn money through your education, then you are considered useless. And on the other hand, if you can earn high money, even though you don't have a character, that's considered okay, acceptable. So just like you need to go through several years of training in order to get a good education, good money earning capacity, similarly, we need to go through an education system and training by which we can have a good character. Good character means, in spite of all the temptations of the world, in spite of all the difficulties in the world, we don't compromise our principles. Like for example, if someone is poor and he sees on the roadside someone's valuable gadget or a wallet with lot of money, like several times we hear, people lose their phone in the taxi and then they don't get it back. They try to call it back, you don't get it. But there are also cases where people have left gold chains, some valuable, lot of money, lot of cash, and the driver of the auto driver or the taxi driver keeps it safely. Right? So, you find such people, although they may not be earning high money, a lot of money, but they have maintained that character of honesty and truthfulness. So therefore, in the face of difficulties, that is a testing time. In the face of difficulties, whether a person is able to maintain the principles of honesty and truthfulness and proper behavior. Even though no one is seeing, the world is not going to watch and advertise, still the person maintains these principles, then it is said that such a person has high character. Especially in Krishna's pastimes, we find this kind of change. All the demons who attacked Krishna in Vrindavan, like for example, we have Putana. Putana, when she came to Vrindavan, she came in the form of a beautiful young girl, right? And she offered to give milk to Krishna. She entered Yashoda's home and she said, "I want to feed Krishna." So when this young lady came inside, all the Vrajavasis thought that maybe she is Lakshmi Devi personally coming to take care of Krishna. So no one objected and no one protested. And they allowed her inside the home, and she took Krishna on her lap and started feeding him. But then Krishna understood that this is a demon. She is a demoness. And she started sucking her life air. So when Putana felt the intense pain, she changed her form. Right? The sakshar, or externally someone who is appearing very nice and beautiful, became Rakshas. Her original true identity came out. And similarly we find Pralambasur also. He came in the form of a nice young cowherd boy. So Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends are playing nicely in Vrindavan forest. And this boy joins in as a cowherd boy. So the two teams, the boys divided into two teams. They wanted to play the tug of war game. So on one side there was Krishna, on one side was Balaram. So this boy joined the side of Krishna, because he thought, "I'll be able to defeat Balaram." So the two teams played, and the team of Balaram won the match. And the condition was, those who lose the match, the winning team has to be carried on the back of the losers. So there was a certain distance fixed. You have to carry that person. So the team members of Krishna had to carry the members of Balaram on their back, and they have to go till that specific distance. So Krishna's team lost, and Pralamba, this boy, was in Krishna's team. So he had to carry Balaram on his shoulder. So he took Balaram. So Sridhama was the winning team, member of the winning team. Krishna was carrying him. So everyone carried their other member to that distance. But this boy, Pralamba, who was carrying Balaram on his shoulder, he started taking a different direction. So the point was here, and he started moving somewhere else. So Balaram was wondering what's happening. And he kept walking and walking long distance. These boys were in a long distance away, and he's taking him somewhere else. So Balaram started doubting, something is wrong here. So he started applying, then he realized that probably he's a demon. So he started increasing his weight, Balaram. So this Pralamba, he could not handle the weight. So very soon his original form came out. He became his original Rakshasa form. And they had a fight, and Balaram easily hit him on his face and head and killed him. So the point is, how in the face of difficulties and calamities, people's real character come out. We can't hide our real character for a long time. Especially difficult times or testing times, or in the face of temptations. When there is a temptation, and no one is watching us, then we feel, ठीक है यार क्या प्रॉब्लम है कर लेते हैं, एंड वी इंडल्ज. बट वेन वी आर इन द फेस इन द फ्रंट ऑफ अ पब्लिक एवरी वन इज वॉचिंग देन वी वॉन्ट टू बिहेव आई एम अ वेरी नाइस पर्सन आई एम अ जेंटलमैन. सो राक्षस वेदर वी आर राक्षस और सरस विल कम टू नो इन द फेस ऑफ अ डिफिकल्टी. सो दैट्स वॉट दिस वर्स सेज सरसो विपरीताश्चेद सरसत्वम न मुंचति. लाइक वी हैव सुदामा स्टोरी. सुदामा वॉज सच ए बेगर डिडंट हैव एनी मनी एंड व्हेन हिज वाइफ टोल्ड हिम यू गो एंड मीट कृष्णा इन द्वारका ही इज योर डियर फ्रेंड ही इज द किंग ऑफ द्वारका एंड ही विल हेल्प यू सम विथ सम फाइनेंशियल मैटर्स. सो सुदामा वेंट देयर वेंट टू द्वारका एंड मेट कृष्णा एंड आफ्टर स्टेइंग देयर फॉर अ फ्यू डेज He didn't feel ki how can I ask something from my friend? It is not proper. True friendship is should be selfless, he felt. So he stayed there and Krishna said, so everything is okay at your home? Yeah, everything is okay, he said. And till the end, till coming back, till the point of returning, he didn't speak anything. Although Krishna knew that Sudama may be in need of money, but Sudama didn't say a word saying, these are the problems at my home, no, some financial problems, can you please help me? He never asked for anything. Of course, Krishna understood that he was in need and Krishna rewarded him amply. But Sudama didn't give that character of selflessness and he maintained his purity. So in the Bhagavatam, you find this verse, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana. सर्वैर गुणैः तत्र समासते सुरा हराव भक्तस्य कुतो महद्गुण मनोरथे नासति धावतो बही. सो दिस वर्स सेज वन हु इज अ भगवती अकिंचन यस्यास्ति भक्तिर् भगवत्यकिंचन वन हु इज प्रैक्टिसिंग प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस अन्टु भगवती भगवान सर्वैर गुणैः तत्र समासते सुरा. Such a person will develop all good qualities over a period of time. All the good qualities found in the demigods. Sarvair gunai. But a person who is not a devotee, harav abhaktasya, one who is an abhakta of Hari, one who is not interested in Krishna, not interested in devotional service to Krishna, one who doesn't practice Krishna consciousness, harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Where do you find good qualities in a person who is not a devotee? Manorathe nasati dhavato bahi. Such a person, although externally it may appear that he is well behaved and gentle, manorathe nasati dhavato. He is hovering on the mental platform. All his so-called good qualities are just not rooted or founded on solid principles. And there is no guarantee that he will maintain his good qualities in adverse situations. But for a devotee, sarvair gunais tatra samasate. So therefore, whenever we see anyone, a devotee who may not be displaying good qualities, we should understand that it's only a matter of time. And very soon he or she will develop all the positive qualities that are expected of him. And we shouldn't criticize anyone, especially devotees, who may not be displaying good character. Because they are practicing. It's in the process. And it takes time. Everyone takes time to reform their character and come to that ideal standard. And on the other hand, also we should not think outsiders are better than devotees. Sometimes they see, no, outside people, non-devotees may be showing excellent character than a new devotee. And we may think, arey yaar, ye sab gaye guzre log hai. Outside people are better. But there's no guarantee that such people will maintain their character in the long run. So what guarantees good character is the practice of pure bhakti, pure devotion service. Eventually, those that practice will give rise to all good qualities in a person. That faith we should have, and we should continue in our practice of pure devotion service. So that was one interesting Subhashita verse that was mentioned there. Another verse, this is also interesting. It says, Utpadita swayamiyam yaditat tanuja, tanuja, tate nava yaditada bhagini khalushri, yadyanya sangamavati chatada parastri, tatyaga baddha manasas sudhiyo bhavanti. What does it mean? This is talking about wealth. Legally earned wealth and illegally earned wealth. Today is the time of black money, right? Demonetization, black money. People are wondering how to convert black into white. So it says it compares wealth to a woman or a girl. Wealth generated by oneself is like one's own daughter. Utpadita swayamiyam yadita tanuja, or a daughter. Swayam wealth is one's own daughter. And wealth provided by one's father is like our sister. Tatena va yaditada bhagini. Bhagini means sister. Then wealth coming from other agencies, borrowed money or some other donations and loans that we receive. That wealth, anya sangamavati tadada parastri, it is compared to someone else's wife. Tatyagabaddha manasas sudhiyo bhavanti. Therefore, intelligent people are dedicated to, here it says, renouncing all types of wealth. So what is the message here? The message is, whatever money or wealth we acquire, how do we use it? Like in the Samudra Manthan Leela, the first item that came out of that Manthan, what was it? Halahal poison. The demigods and demons took the Mandara mountain into the milk ocean and they started churning. And the first item that came was halahal. Halahal is deadly poison. And that poison was about to destroy the entire world. So Lord Vishnu suggested the best person who can take charge of this poison is Lord Shiva. So they requested Lord Shiva, you are a powerful person, please take this. And Lord Shiva took it and held it in his neck. Neelkant. And then several items came. There came a horse, Uchchaishrava. There came Airavat elephant. And then valuable jewels came. Many things came. And in the end, who comes? Then Lakshmiji comes. Lakshmi comes with a garland. And she comes out and looks everywhere. And she is wondering, who is the best person who can receive this garland? She looks at the demigods and she looks at the demons and she notices some fault, some defect in everyone. But she is looking for a person who is 100% perfect. So no one is perfect, so who can receive my garland? Finally she sees Lord Vishnu standing there. She says, this is the only person with no defects. She goes and puts a garland on him. And finally, the main Dhanvantari comes with Amrit. But the point here is, first person to come was poison. And then comes Lakshmiji. Right? So that way, Lakshmiji is considered as the younger sister of the elder brother poison. The poison is the elder. Halahal is the elder brother of Lakshmiji. What it means is, someone who misbehaves with Lakshmi will get a poisonous effect in his life. The elder brother will usually, that's the culture, elder brother is supposed to take care of the younger sister. So elder brother is will fight and protect, try to protect with someone who is misbehaving with the sister. So if Lakshmi is misused or improperly acquired wealth, that wealth will turn poisonous and will have disastrous effect in our life. So how should we use wealth? First of all, we should acquire wealth in a legal manner, through our occupation, legal occupation, without cheating, without exploiting others. We acquire wealth. Even after we acquire wealth, how do we use it? So the Bhagavatam says, dharmasya hi apavargasya narthorthayopakalpate narthasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hismritah. So we have these four goals: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These are called as the four purusharthas, or four goals in life. Everyone should have these four goals in life: dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So everyone, life is meant to practice dharma, and by dharmic activities we should earn artha. Artha means wealth. And when you properly earn artha, that artha should be used to fulfill our desires. Kaam. Kaam here doesn't mean sensual desires only. Kaam means whatever basic desires and necessities we have, you fulfill those through legally earned wealth. Dharma, artha, kama. And after fulfilling, leading a prosperous life, towards the end of life, we start aspiring for moksha or liberation. These are the four stages a human being is supposed to go through. But if we don't follow dharma and we acquire artha, then such artha will lead to illegal gratification of desires. Then kama becomes illegal. And eventually you will never care for moksha. So modern society means there is artha, there is kama also, but there is no practice of dharma and there is no future goal of moksha. So only kama and artha kama. People spend all their time and energy and money, life, in acquiring artha. Artha is the supreme goal of life. Why? Because I have unlimited desires to fulfill. Sense gratificatory desire. Kaam. And there is no end to kaam. Kaam vasana is endless. Right from childhood, adult, youth, adult, old age. Unlimited desires. So no matter how much money you earn, there is no fulfillment of all desires. So Bhagavatam says, dharmasya hi apavargasya. Dharma should be used to become up, to cross over the pavarga. Pavarga you know, right? Papa bhavama. Parishram. Thena. Bandhan, bhai and mrityu. So we have to get over all these pavarga. Ultimately we have to cross over the biggest obstacle of death. That is the main purpose of dharma. Narthor thayo pakalpade. Don't just live a life to earn money. Money is essential, but not the ultimate goal of life. Narthasya dharma ekantasya. Don't do dharma to just earn money. Kamo labhaya hismritah. Kamasya nendriya pritir. Similarly, the ultimate goal of life should not be just gratifying our desires. Sensual desires. Jivasya tattva jigyas. Understand that we have got a life to understand the ultimate purpose of life. Life has a goal, and that tattva, that philosophy, one needs to understand. And we should utilize all our time and energy to understand that ultimate purpose of life. If that is not the goal of life, then it is considered a waste of life. You are wasting the big opportunity to perfect our life, Bhagavatam says. So similarly here, we find when we start mistreating or misutilizing money, then it behaves differently. And Jayadvait Maharaj says, money that is unaccounted behaves differently than money that is accounted. Same money, but when it is accounted and when it is not accounted, the behavior is different. So therefore, we need to be extremely careful how we acquire money and how we spend money. The Gita says, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam. One whose goal of life is simply bhoga and aishwarya. Bhoga means calm here. Enjoy. That is the goal. And aishwarya, wealth. Acquire money, wealth somehow. Taya apahrita chetasam. Their intelligence is stolen. Such people lose all kinds of discrimination. What is right, what is wrong? Yavasayatmika buddhir samadhau navidhiyate. Krishna says in the Gita, one who has goal of life as bhog and aishwarya, such people cannot have yavasayatmika buddhi. Yavasayatmika buddhi means fixed intelligence, focused intelligence on a specific purpose. Because they are too distracted with wealth and sense gratification. So therefore, in our traditional Indian culture, wealth is always considered Lakshmi, a representative of Lakshmi. Like in Diwali, we have Lakshmi Puja, right? Because wealth is considered sacred. But most people don't understand that Lakshmi is always with Narayan or Vishnu. Lakshmi Puja should ideally be accompanied with Narayan Puja also. You can independently worship Lakshmi and reject Narayan. On the other hand, if you worship Narayan, Lakshmi will automatically follow without independently worshipping her. So in the Ramayana we find Ravan, the character of Ravan. Ravan is one who captured Sita illegally, separated her from the original Narayan, Ram, and wanted to enjoy Sita separately. So therefore, that is considered illegal. And therefore, Ravan, although a big, powerful king, was destroyed by Ram. Because the attitude is, I want to enjoy wealth separately from God. And therefore, Hanuman comes and destroyed Lanka completely before Ram came. And so this tendency to enjoy Lakshmi separately from Krishna, separately from Ram, is Ravan tendency. And Shurpanaka represents the tendency to enjoy God, Ram, without Lakshmi. She wanted to reject Sita and wanted to independently enjoy Ram. That is also wrong. That is also, so these two are two extremes. Only one without the other. Therefore, in our Indian tradition, we have the worship of both the male and the female aspect of God. We worship Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, not independently either one. That is so the job of a devotee, the duty of a devotee is to always keep Lakshmi and Narayan together. Always bring Lakshmi and unite her with the original master, Narayan. That's what Hanuman did. So Ravan separated Sita from Ram. Hanuman went there, united both Sita and Ram. So we should follow in the footsteps of Hanumanji, not in the footsteps of Ravan. trying to independently enjoy wealth separately from God. So the Gita also, in the 16th chapter, you find the mentality of those who are rakshasas or demons. In the 16th chapter, Krishna says, "Idam adya maya labdham imam prapse manoratham." A person who is a demon, he starts thinking, "Now I am the controller. Now I am the boss. Now I have won this person. Won this battle. Now this much more needs to be conquered, and I conquer that. And very soon I will conquer this. I will win over this. And soon I will be the king or the master of the whole thing." This attitude of keeping on conquering. Ultimately, I reach a stage where there is no one superior to me. This attitude is demonic. I want to control all wealth, all money, and enjoy fully. But the funny thing is, the person who has the maximum amount of money, he is unable to enjoy the whole money. These people die miserably and leave behind all their wealth for someone else to enjoy. Therefore, Lakshmi is considered as to be chanchal. Chanchal means someone who doesn't stay at one place permanently. Especially illegally earned wealth. Money earned illegally will never stay at one place. Either it will kill us, destroy us, or she will run away. Therefore, we should be careful of how we earn money and how we spend money. So that is about this Subhashit was about that. So therefore, Lakshmi or women is supposed to be protected. Prabhupada writes in his purports how a woman is supposed to be protected in all stages of life. As a child, a father protects the girl. In middle age, the husband protects the girl or woman. And in old age, her grown-up sons should protect. And never you allow the girl to roam around independently. Because otherwise someone will exploit and misuse. The next verse is about the glories of Bhagavatam. It is also a nice verse, Subhashita. It says, Yata shasyana yat priyam bhavati tat syat kami loka priyam yad vastvasyana saukhya shali bhavati preshtham chatat yoginaha. Satyevam yadihavatara charite pritir dvayor utkata hetus tatra tatha charitra sarani narayaniti sputam. So what does it say? It talks about two kinds of people who have opposite mentalities. One is kami lokapriyam. And the other is yogis. So he says, talks of women, men and love, romance, are the subjects not appealing to the yogis or spiritual practitioners, but are captivating for the lusty bhogis. On the other hand, talks about the absolute truth are subjects not interested for the bhogis, but are interested for the yogis. But there is one subject that both people take interest. Which is that? We will see that later. So, it talks about two people. Yogis and bhogis. A yogi is one who is interested in spiritual practices. Something that is beyond this world, something that is higher than ordinary life. He controls the senses, controls his mind, and practices some sadhana to attain some higher goal in life. Such a person is called a yogi. So Gita talks about several types of yogis. Karma yogi, Jnana yogi, Ashtanga yogi, Bhakti yogi. So in general, everyone is a yogi. Anyone who has a goal that is higher than ordinary materialistic life. And a bhogi is one who has no higher goal in life and whose goal is enjoy this world. This world is meant for my enjoyment, and I am the center of the universe, and everything should be arranged in a way where I get the benefit. After I get the benefit, if someone else benefits, then it's okay. But first priority should be my self-interest. That's a bhogi. So their attitude and mental disposition is totally opposite, these two classes of people. In the Gita also we find Krishna talks about these two people. He says, Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashyato muni. He says, Ya nisha, what is night for sarva bhutanam, for ordinary people? Tasyam jagrati samyami. What is night for ordinary people is the waking up time for the self-controlled or the yogis. Yasyam jagrati bhutani. When the living entities are awake, fully active, that's the time for resting for the sage or introspective yogi. So one class of people gets up, the other class of people goes to sleep. And when this person goes to sleep, the other people wake up. So a yogi, so like this is quite visible in today's times in Kali Yuga. The tradition says you should get up early in the morning, go to sleep by night. But today's work culture is such that we have to wake up in the night, go to call centers and go to our offices, work all night, go to sleep at morning 8 a.m., sleep all day, and then brush your teeth in the evening, have breakfast in the evening, dinner midnight, right? So the whole culture is totally opposite. I remember working for a few months in a call center. The shift started at 10:30 in the night and would end at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. So one shift started at 1 a.m. in the night. So the car would come to pick up by 11 o'clock at home. You reach office by 12:30, log in, work 8-9 hours. They'll drop you. You go to sleep by 9 a.m. 8 hours. 9 to 5, you sleep. When everyone is working, 9 to 5, you're sleeping 9 to 5. And then wake up and again the whole routine starts. I gave up the job in 2 months. Anyway, the point is how the whole culture is now designed that you have to work outside the proper body clock, and that is what is causing so many health problems, stress problems. So this verse says yogis take interest in mundane subject matters, especially romantic activities happening between men and women. That is their main subject of discussion. They relish discussing these subject matters. And if you tell them, please come for a satsang program, please come for Srimad Bhagavatam discussion, then they are least interested. And on the other hand, yogis have no interest in discussing mundane subject matters, but they take interest in discussing spiritual subject matters. So this verse says, there is one subject that is commonly liking to both. It says the Bhagavatam is actually a subject that both class of people will take interest in. Because in the Bhagavatam you find Krishna also has romantic affairs, with his gopis, with the queens of Dwarka. In the Mahabharata, you find Krishna indulging in politics, so-called politics, and war, and romance, and suspense. Right? So this subject matter, both the devotees or the yogis, and the regular bhogis will find interesting. That's the glory of Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, it is said, Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata especially for people of modern times. Because directly if you tell them, hear Krishna Katha, not everyone will be interested. Everyone will be interested. But through the Mahabharata, through the Ramayana, all these topics of suspense, war, cheating, romance, this is what is usually interesting to normal people, right? Ordinary people. So through these activities, you form a story and add Krishna into it. That is Mahabharata. So in the Mahabharata, Krishna is not the main central hero of Mahabharata. The central hero of Mahabharata is Pandavas, Arjun. And the story is revolving around them, their family, their dynasty. And Krishna is a supporting character in Mahabharata. But all these things are there. Suspense is there, war is there, cheating is there, romance is there, fighting is there. So people take interest in these subject matters, and unknowingly or knowingly, they take Krishna through these stories. The medicine of Krishna goes somehow or other. Ultimately, the Krishna, real medicine is Krishna. That has to go in, and that goes in by reading Mahabharata. And they get purified. The medicine goes in. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of, if a mother wants to give medicine to a child, the medicine is bitter. It is not tasty. So what does she do? She coats sugar over the medicine. And through some jokes, through some distractions, she will somehow open the mouth of the child and put the medicine inside. The child won't directly take the medicine. But because it is sugar, candy, chocolate, something like that, the child takes in. And unknowingly the medicine goes inside. And it has the effect. Similarly, if you directly tell them, chant Hare Krishna, chant, hear Bhagavatam, hear Gita, that is very bitter for an ordinary person. So through a story, through a plot, through romance, through fighting, war, you create a story. That's what Vyasadeva did. And inserted the medicine, which is the Gita in the Mahabharata. And unknowingly the medicine goes and people benefit. So in this way, Krishna-related activities, Krishna's pastimes, and Krishna's name, all these things become interested, can be made interested to both classes of people. And this is what we should share with others. Whenever we present Krishna consciousness to the general people, we should make it presentable and interesting, so that somehow or other, people take interest in taking the medicine, and in this way they can benefit. So in the Gita, Krishna talks about an upside down banyan tree. Know this 15th chapter? Urdhvamulam adhashakham ashwattham prahuravyayam. So the banyan tree is upside down, which means the nature of the spiritual world and the nature of the material world is totally opposite to each other. So in the material world, so if there is a mango tree standing on a river bank, you find the reflection in the water, right? So in the regular tree, the roots are down, the tree is up, the fruits are up. In the reflection, everything is opposite. So our acharyas explain, someone who is trying to enjoy the material world is like wanting to enjoy the mango in the reflection. So he sees the reflection of the mango tree. He sees the mangoes, ripe yellow mangoes, and he says, wow. But he is looking at the reflection and he jumps inside. Jumps inside and is searching. Are kidhar gaya mango? Looking everywhere, searching everywhere, and is frustrated, unable to get the mango. He comes out, again looks at the reflection. Are it still there? then why did I not find it? Maybe I didn't search it at the right place. Again he jumps in. Again searches frantically everywhere. So he struggles a lot, but the problem is he's looking for the right thing at the wrong place. So therefore they say, this person, all he has to do is look up. Look up, the real tree standing there. The real mangoes are there. Pluck them and enjoy them. So whatever we find in the spiritual world, whatever we find in the material world, their original forms are actually in the spiritual world. So anyone who is trying to enjoy the material world, material resources, in the beginning it may appear very nice and tasty, enjoyable, but it cannot give us lasting happiness. It will make us frustrated because it is not the real thing. It is like enjoying the reflection mangoes inside the water. And then you come out and then you get frustrated. And then we are wondering why I am not happy. So therefore Krishna says, look up. The real thing is somewhere else. That is the original thing. Parastasma tu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Parastasma. There is another nature which is not visible right now to us. Not manifest now. But yes, sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. When this world is destroyed, that world remains as it is. Nashyatsu. Nashyatsu. When this world is destroyed, na vinashyati. That world is not destroyed. That remains as it is. So we originally are eternal beings, but we are now in a place there where there is destruction. This material world has a beginning and an end, and we are trapped in this world. But we originally have no death. So a deathless living entity is trapped in a place of death. That makes us frustrated. A deathless living entity should be situated in a deathless place. That will make us really happy. But we are now in an atmosphere of death, which prevents us from fully enjoying life. Therefore, Krishna encourages us to take to the path that will lead us to the spiritual world, to the permanent abode of Krishna, where there is permanent, unlimited, Satchidananda environment. That's the place where we can find real happiness. And therefore, we should study and discuss pastimes of Krishna as given in the Gita and the Bhagavatam, where we slowly reprogram our minds and intelligence to understand how this world cannot give us real happiness and start tuning ourselves to spiritual nature. Then at the time of death, Krishna says, you can transfer yourself to the spiritual world. So what we think at the time of death will decide where we go. Our destination in the next life will be dependent on what we think at the time of death. So we program our minds, program our thinking, our consciousness to Krishna's pastimes. So when the mind is ready at the time of death, then we can think of Krishna at the time of death and we move to Krishna's permanent abode. So it's a whole science. It is not just imagination or dogmatic. It's science. Mind can be programmed and mind's nature will decide our destination in the next life. So in this way, this verse is encouraging us to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam and all these Vedic scriptures are meant to help us connect ourselves with Krishna. Reprogram our minds to Krishna-related activities. Otherwise, if you don't hear and instead we hear these mundane topics, that means we are programmed to this world. What we hear, that's what our mind gets programmed to. Right? And if you are programmed to this world, then we remain in this world. If you are programmed to spiritual world, we go there. It's as simple as that. So there are several such Subhashita Stotras. One interesting one is, it says, Praya Prakashayam Prakashatam Yati Malina Sadhu Bhadaya नागृशिष्यत चेदर्कम को ज्ञासति सिंहिकासुतम क्यों ज्ञायत सिंहिकासुतम. दिस टॉकिंग अबाउट एनवी. द ओनली वे एनवियस पीपल कैन ब्रिंग देमसेल्व्स इनटू लाइमलाइट इज बाय हैरेसिंग द सेंटली पीपल. हाउ कुड एनीवन नो द डार्क प्लैनेट राहु इफ इट डज नॉट परफॉर्म द टास्क ऑफ eclipsing the sun. So according to Vedic astronomy, eclipses occur when Rahu is covering up the sun or the moon. So because Rahu is the character that was formed during the Samudra Manthan Lila again, when Mohini Murthy was distributing nectar, this Rahu, the demon, came and sat in the line of demigods. And she was distributing Amrit, and Rahu got to taste Amrit. But as soon as the sun and the moon saw, this is a demon sitting here, immediately Mohini Murthy released her Sudarshan Chakra and chopped off Rahu's head. But because Amrit had already gone inside, his head was alive, his body was dead, body got killed. So that Rahu understood, this sun and the moon are the cause of my death. So therefore Rahu attacks sun and moon periodically. And that's the time when eclipses occur. So it says, because Rahu is envious of sun and moon, Rahu comes into limelight during the time of eclipse. Sun and moon are effulgent, spreading light everywhere, knowledge and light everywhere. And they are effulgent. But Rahu, although a dark planet, comes into limelight by attacking sun and moon. Similarly, envious people come into limelight by attacking the saintly. Otherwise, they have no chance of coming into limelight. By their own qualities, they don't stand out and they cannot come into prominence. But the only way they can do is criticize the saintly people, criticize the good activities of a saintly people. In this way, they come to limelight. So, in this way, in this shloka, in this verse, it is a negative glorification, not exactly glorification, it is criticizing the envy. This is not the right way to come to limelight. The right way to come to limelight is you develop your own good qualities instead of attacking the saintly people and trying to gain their limelight. So Shishupal is one such example in the scriptures we find, who was envy personified. So when Shishupal was born, it is said the first words that he uttered was blasphemy of Krishna. Right from the day one he started speaking, he was blaspheming Krishna, although Krishna was a blood relative of Shishupal. So, and Shishupal had a third eye, he had three eyes. So it was said, the third eye, whenever someone comes and his third eye disappears, that person will be the killer of Shishupal. So when Krishna came to see Shishupal, his third eye disappeared. That's how his mother came to know that Krishna is going to be the killer of Shishupal. So she prays to Krishna, please don't kill Shishupal. So Krishna says, I will tolerate 100 blasphemy of Shishupal. Till then I won't do anything. This is the threshold. If he touches 100, then I'll kill him. So his mother also thought, maybe he won't speak 100. Itna to koi. So Shishupal also was careful not to cross the threshold. Every time he blasphemed Krishna, he would stop within the limit of 100. But the time came of Rajasuya sacrifice. Yudhishthir, after he got Indraprastha, he wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Rajasuya sacrifice is a sacrifice performed by emperors only, world emperors. And the purpose of the sacrifice is to establish who is the emperor of the entire planet. So what they do is they release a horse, the horse goes to various kingdoms, along with the horse a person goes, a prince goes, and they go to each kingdom, each king, and they request, do you accept the emperor's supreme sovereignty? So usually everyone said yes. Yudhishthir, so at that time Yudhishthir was the emperor. So the horse would go And they would ask a local king, so do you accept Yudhishthira as the emperor of the planet under whom you can work? So usually everyone said yes. But if someone said no, then there would be a fight, small fight. And whoever wins, so usually this person won, Yudhishthira's person would win, and then that person would agree to become a subordinate of Yudhishthira, under Yudhishthira. So in this way, the horse went and agreed, they captured everyone. Yudhishthira was declared as the emperor. Now that has to be formally declared, right? Yudhishthira is the emperor. So then they do the Rajasuya sacrifice, yagya. So in that sacrifice, everyone came. So many kings came from all over the world. They gave donations, they gave charity, they presented gifts to Yudhishthira. It is said even demigods came. Brahma, Shiva, Narad Muni, all these demigods from higher planets came to participate in the function. So Yudhishthira's main purpose was not to declare himself as the emperor in the sacrifice. His main purpose was to declare Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the hidden motive behind the sacrifice for Yudhishthira. I want to glorify Krishna. So there is a function called Agra Puja in the sacrifice. Agra Puja means the first puja done of a great personality. So when the time came for that puja, everyone was discussing who should be the person who can receive Agra Puja. So many names came up. Someone said, here is Lord Shiva, here is Lord Brahma, both are exalted demigods, they should be the person of Agra Puja. Someone said Narad Muni is here, someone said Bhishma Pitama is here. So many names were suggested, but there was a confusion, who would receive the puja. Then Sahadev, the youngest Pandav brother, he stood up and spoke with authority. He said, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He started quoting various scriptures, references, and he made a final decision. So Krishna should receive the Agra Puja. And everyone unanimously agreed to that decision. So in this way, Yudhishthira performed the Agra Puja of Krishna. And all this while, Shishupal was standing in the assembly. And somehow he couldn't tolerate how this so-called coward boy, who was coward boy in Vrindavan, running around with cows and bulls, how can he receive such an honor? So he wanted to spoil the whole function. If you do some mischief there, some inauspicious thing happened, then the whole thing is spoiled, right? So he, before the event got over, he stood up and he started speaking. And he started blaspheming Krishna. How can you select Krishna as the Supreme Lord for Agra Puja? He doesn't have a caste of his own. Some time back he was a coward boy. Then he ran away from the battlefield of Jarasandh. And then he went and settled in Dwarka, far away in an island. And who knows what his caste is. Now he is acting like a king. Sometimes he acts like a coward, Vaishya, Shudra. So this guy has no identity. How can such a person receive Agra Puja, such an honor? And he went on and on and on and on. And he lost the count. When did he cross 100? And everyone was getting angry. The Pandavas was getting angry. Bhishma was getting angry. But Krishna said, Krishna controlled them. He said, don't worry, I will handle the situation. And the moment he reached the count, 100, Krishna was cool. He took the Sudarshan Chakra and cut off his head. And to everyone's surprise, so Shishupal, the Atma, Shishupal's the soul, the spirit soul, came up and merged into the body of Krishna. So if you know the history, Shishupal was original Jai Vijay. Originally they came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then they came as Ravan and Kumbhakarna, then third life they came as Shishupal and Dantavakra. So after this third life, they were supposed to go back and take up their original position as Jai Vijay. So Shishupal merged into the body of Krishna and went back. So the point is, how envy, Shishupal was such an envious person who couldn't tolerate Krishna's greatness, Krishna's glories. And he wanted to position himself as the superior person. He was also envious because Krishna was the one who married Rukmini. Originally, Rukmini was supposed to get married to Shishupal. His brother, her brother and her parents had decided that Rukmini should be handed over to Shishupal. But during the Swayamvar of Rukmini, Krishna came and kidnapped Rukmini. Right? So Shishupal couldn't handle that also. And he was highly demotivated. He was almost like going to commit suicide when he lost Rukmini. But somehow others encouraged him and said, no, don't worry. This life may sab hota rehta hai. These things happen. So that grudge was there against Krishna. So everything came out here in the Rajasuya sacrifice. And because he was thinking of Krishna at the time of death, therefore he got promoted. So therefore our Acharya says, somehow or other, ideally you should be thinking of Krishna in love, but even if you think in a negative mood, in anger or in envy or in any negative emotion, still you get benefit. That is the power and potency of thinking of Krishna. Therefore Narad Muni says, these people like Shishupal and Jarasandh, they are better than me. They are more absorbed in Krishna than devotees who are absorbed in Krishna. Devotees' absorption in Krishna through love is more than the demon's absorption in Krishna through envy and anger. This way Narad Muni glorifies Shishupal. So anyway, the point is how envy is a negative quality, and ideally we shouldn't try to cultivate this. We should try to worship Krishna in a favorable mood. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyana avratam anukulyena krishnanushilnam. Anukul means in a favorable mood, krishnanushilnam. We should serve Krishna, worship Krishna and render service to Krishna. So in this way, so there are several such verses. One story I would like to share with you about a devotee who, in how Krishna consciousness can transform, how the practices of Krishna consciousness can transform any person, even with the most negative qualities and negative emotions, just by coming in touch with the Gita, the Bhagavatam, in touch with devotees. This is the story of a person named Chandu, one of our book distributors. While doing book distribution in Maharashtra, they went to this place called Srirampur. Srirampur is in, I think, Ahmednagar district, Maharashtra. So there they met one person who was arranging their program. So his name was Chandu. So he said, he started narrating his story, how he became a devotee. So he said, in my youth, I was a drunkard, I was a meat eater, I was doing all kinds of illegal activities. And my father was a big sadhu, very saintly gentleman. He would read, he would worship Vitthal, and he would read Jnaneshwari and other scriptures. And he would always tell me, at least read once the Gita, the Jnaneshwari. But I was not interested in any of these things. And I started my own political party, union, and I would do all kinds of dadagiri in my village. And I would beat up people. In this way, he was leading a life. His parents thought maybe he should get married. After he gets married, he may become a gentleman. But even after marriage, he continued his activities. He started beating up his wife. And there were always quarrels. His wife would go run to her home in between whenever there would be a fight. In this way, his family life was almost broken completely. So one day he thought, so his father was about to die. So he came to see his dying father in an intoxicated state. He came straight from the bar to his father's dying place, deathbed. And his father requested him, I have only one request. Please read Jnaneshwari at least once in your life. So he said, okay. And then his father died. And then he continued. He didn't care anything about that instruction. He continued his life, but somewhere in the back of his mind, he had this thought, I should read. So after a long time, he went into his puja room, where all these books were kept. So he picked up that book, Jnaneshwari. And he started reading it, and he couldn't understand anything. Just total different language he felt. says, no, this I cannot understand. So he was about to keep the book and he saw Bhagavad Gita as it is, Prabhupada's Gita in Marathi. So he took out the book. So he said, oh, both are same ultimately, right? Jnaneshwari is a commentary on the Gita. So he took the Gita and started reading it. And he felt something I can understand. So he started reading it and he came to third chapter. Third chapter Krishna says, Yagya Shishta Shinasanto Muchyante Sarvakilbishai Bhunjate Te Tugham Papa Ye Pachanti Atmakarana. So it says, those who eat food without offering to Krishna, they are eating only sin. So he said, oh, I should offer food to Krishna. So that was the beginning. He said, let me offer food to Krishna. Krishna says, offer the food to me. So he would come home, beat up his wife, and said, cook something. And she would cook something. And after the wife would keep the meal ready, he would go to that photo of Krishna Vitthal, say, eat. He would order Krishna to eat. And after offering it for a few minutes, he would take and eat it. In this way, he started offering every day. So his friends, he told his friends, I am reading the Gita. So his friend said, "Acha, so why don't you teach us?" So then he started a satsang program inside the bar. He would have a liquor in his hand, he would have a Gita copy in his hand. And he would spread his legs on the table and he would begin his pravachan. And this way he started teaching the Gita to his friends. So slowly, so this continued for 7-8 months. And he said, after few months, then he started feeling, this is not proper. Doing drinking and then talking about Gita, that doesn't look good. I should lead a more pure life. So slowly he started reducing his alcohol, reducing his other bad habits. And he also started chanting Hare Krishna. So one day one of the devotees met him and he said, look, there is a satsang program here near Pandharpur. Why don't you come there? Satsang program I usually conduct. I don't participate in satsang program. So he said, anyway, I will come. So he went and that was the program of Loknath Maharaj. So there was a 6-day or 7-day program. So he attended there, stayed there. And he attended and he felt, he also saw how Prabhupada's photographer there. They had some, I think, Rathyatra or some event. And he felt, this is a real sadhu, looking at Prabhupada's photo. And he appreciated Loknath Maharaj's talks. And over a period of 1 or 2 years, he actually started transforming. And his parents, not parents, his family members started noticing the change. Initially they were scared of his dadagiri. Now they got scared of his transformation. He's becoming too much of a sadhu. That's what happens, right? Whenever someone becomes a devotee. But anyway, they took it positively and slowly he started preaching to his family members. They also took up the process. They took up the process of chanting Hare Krishna, starting reading the Bhagavatam and the Gita. Now he is a full-fledged devotee. He got initiation from Loknath Maharaj. Now he is Chaitanya Charan Das, Loknath Maharaj's disciples. And his family, the whole family is involved. Now he conducts a satsang program. He is leading a satsang program in his village. And everyone is fully cooperating with spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya. The point is how simply by coming in touch with devotees, in touch with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada's movement, how the character changes that we saw in the beginning, Sakshar and Rakshas, Sarasa. Real genuine character starts developing in a person. And that's what actually becomes attractive to everyone. Otherwise everyone may have big knowledge, big degrees, but that cannot impress many people. But when we have genuine character, true pure character, then it becomes easy to it becomes attractive to everyone. And when the world is full of such genuine people with good character, then automatically the world becomes a peaceful place. So many wars and so many fights are happening in on national level, international level, family level, individual level. It's all because character is missing. And if that character is developed on a mass scale, then automatically the world will become peaceful. That is the purpose of the mission of Lord Chaitanya, to share this knowledge with everyone, to transform people's character, and in this way make the world a more happy, peaceful place. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question anyone has, comment or question? Jai Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Please be seated. Still program is not over. कृपया बैठ जाइए, अभी कार्यक्रम पूरा नहीं हुआ. हरि बोल.